This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Friday, and the fight over the Republican health care reform plan gets more intense by the minute as the House could begin its vote this hour.
Americans were told that Obamacare would bring down prices and increase options. You were told that you could keep your plan and keep your doctor. You were given many, many false stories. The fact is, you were given many lies. Go with our plan. It's going to be terrific.
Frankly, at this point, it's not a question of negotiating anymore. It's understanding the greater good that's at hand. The president understands this is it. We had this opportunity. There's no question, in my mind at least, that the president and the team here have left everything on the field.
There are only two ways you can vote for this bill. One is you don't know what's in the bill. Or two is you have to have a heart of stone. Because this bill is shameful. It's going to hurt people. It's going to hurt your constituents. Withdraw this bill or vote no on this bill, but this bill cannot become law.
You just heard Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern, also White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, and President Donald Trump speaking yesterday via a Twitter video. Now, in a moment, we're going to turn to our Week in Review panel, but first, let's go straight to Washington and hear from Sahil Kapoor, senior political reporter at Bloomberg Politics. He's been closely watching all the developments on the Hill today. Sahil, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me on.
So, first of all, does the House have enough votes to pass the American Health Care Act?
At this point, they do not. Leadership has been working the last tools in their quiver all day, trying to whip the votes. And what we've seen is the other direction. We've seen some more moderates since last night come out and say they can't vote for this bill. So at this point, it does not look like they have the votes. There is consideration right now as to whether they even hold the vote at all, because this thing could fail more spectacularly if people know that it's going down. A lot of people are soft yeses, both on the moderate flank and on the right. And if they know this bill is going to fail, this could fail pretty badly. So that's the dilemma they're facing right now.
There's been so many ups and downs and competing statements about this bill over the course of the day. At one point in time, the White House was saying the vote was going to happen at 3:30. At another point in time, people were saying it was going to happen a half an hour later. Then a little earlier today, House Speaker Paul Ryan visited the White House. Do we know if he saw the president and what, if anything, he told Donald Trump?
Indications we have are that he did meet with the president. There's reporting out there. I don't believe we have confirmed independently that he told the president he doesn't have the votes and asked if he should pull the bill. We have not heard from the speaker's office since then. And so far, Republican leadership had planned on voting at the end of this hour or next hour. We have not had an update yet. We will find out soon. Mm. They're
now,
in a difficult position.
Sahil, last night, White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney told House Republicans that if the bill does not pass today, President Trump would move on and leave Obamacare in place, that he had all sorts of other priorities that he wanted to work on. What impact did that message have amongst GOP House members, if any?
My sources in the room tell me that it did move a few people to yes, including some in the House Freedom Caucus, but not enough. That message moved some Freedom Caucus people to yes, as did one of the new provisions they added to the bill, which is repeal of the essential health benefits in the Affordable Care Act, which is basically 10 things that insurance companies are mandated to cover in every policy. But it also had the effect of alienating some moderates, including House Appropriations Committee Chairman Rodney Frelinghuysen, which is quite an ominous sign, I would say, for Republican leadership, because you don't usually lose committee chairman in a big vote like this. They tend to be allies of leadership. It sounds like Mr. Mulvaney was Republicans an ultimatum, saying if you really want to repeal and replace Obamacare, this is your shot. You need the vote yes.
Well, let's listen to a little bit more from White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer today from the Daily Briefing, where he said, as maybe folks have been seeing bubbling up on media, that he says that the president has put everything out there. Let's listen.
Now, the president is confident that we have done every single thing possible, made the case, updated it, added, and done everything to listen to the concerns and to do everything that fulfills the promises that we and members have made with the American people.
Now, Sahil, Donald Trump ran during his campaign as the quintessential negotiator. He said he was going to make amazing deals for America. What does it say that it seems at this moment, who knows, things could change, but it seems as this at this moment, whatever pressure, whatever negotiating tactics, whatever promises and changes the president said would be made to the bill are not enough to move the needle on the number of votes they need?
That is the way it looks right now. And look, let's be clear. It's always possible that Republican leadership pulls a rabbit out of the bag, that some miracle happens and they end up getting the votes. But right now, all indications are they do not have them. To your point about the president and his negotiating skills, this is one of the reasons this is going to be a pretty embarrassing setback if it fails. Not only has the president touted his negotiating skills as spectacular and unusual and one of the reasons he should have been elected president to begin with, but Republican leadership members and their senior staffers have been promoting the president as the closer, the ultimate closer, the deal maker, things like that. They had rested their hopes on getting this across the finish line on him. Republican leadership always knew that there was a certain flank in their caucus that wouldn't be persuaded by them. They like to stand up to congressional leadership and say that, you know, and take an anti-establishment position. But they don't necessarily want to be against the president because he's particularly popular in these very conservative districts. Hmm. It seems like that wasn't enough to get the job done, though.
I'm looking at two tweets from Newt Gingrich here. A little earlier today, he tweeted, "No one should be confused. Obamacare repeal, if it passes, will be Trump's triumph. He personally intervened to save the bill when it faced defeat." Then 8 hours later, Newt Gingrich again tweets, "Why would you schedule a vote on a bill that is at 17% approval? Have we forgotten everything Reagan taught us?" I'm wondering, I mean, that seems to be the perfect description of the problem maybe not Donald Trump faces, but Paul Ryan faces. I mean, if this vote doesn't happen or if the bill doesn't pass, what impact is it going to have on Ryan's speakership?
Firstly, it sounds like the former Speaker Gingrich from the two tweets you read, sounds like he's trying to have it a bit both ways. On the one hand, promoting this bill as he did a few days ago, he called it a big step forward, not perfect, but much better than Obamacare. This is a tweet by him dated March 21st. Now, I think he's tweeting it on the basis that it seems likely to fail, and he's bringing this up. For Ryan's position right now, what this means, it's far from clear. What we heard from a White House spokesman, Sean Spicer, in the last 2 hours is that the speaker and the president have been working closely on this. The president left everything on the field. The speaker did everything he can. There's no indication that the White House, at least publicly, at least on the record, is blaming Speaker Ryan for this failing. Now, if that changes, if the president himself decides to put the blame squarely at the feet of Speaker Ryan, that could make for a very interesting dynamic. As far as I know, Speaker Ryan is pretty safe in that position because, frankly, there is no alternative, and the people who oppose him most do not have a candidate who will get anywhere near the kind of consensus he has in the Republican conference.
Interesting. Well, I'm seeing here that Representative David Joyce, who met with the president on Wednesday night, said he's going to vote against the bill. Representative Barbara Comstock of Virginia, a longtime friend of Paul Ryan and an ally, also believe says that she's going to vote no on the bill. So we'll see what happens here. Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for Bloomberg Politics, speaking to us from Washington. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
When we come back, we'll pick up the question about healthcare reform with our Week in Review panel, so stick with us. I'm Megan Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.